to the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And this is the Grace Hour, coming to you live from our studio here in Baltimore, Maryland. A nice day here, a good late December day, and we have a great message for you today. Pastor John Love, who started this message yesterday, promised to finish it today, part two, right? I heard that right. Part two is coming up. I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis, your host for today. And we've been enjoying this theme about being quickened to life here in this last few days of 2021. And we hope that you are being quickened by the Spirit as we talk about the things of the Word of God. And we encourage you to stay tuned and listen. We want to thank you for being a part of our broadcast. If you're listening at WRBS, Positive Talk, 1230 a.m. in Baltimore on the radio waves, we'll be on for about 28 minutes till about 1:28. And then also we're on online gracehour.org, and Facebook Live, and also YouTube Live. That's gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. You can find us online, and you can be a part of the program all the way until almost 2 o'clock. If you're in the Baltimore area, we want to remind you that this is a Wednesday, and at Greater Grace Church, that means we're going to have a service this evening at 7 o'clock. You're welcome to come by at 6025 Moravia Park Drive in East Baltimore and enjoy a message from the Word of God, some singing together. We also have a cafe if you would like a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. And fellowship with us, that'd be awesome. So that's tonight at 7 o'clock. Also this week, we will be having our New Year's Eve celebration. We get together as a church on New Year's Eve to pray out the old year and pray in the new year, to reflect, remember, and get started on the next chapter of our lives by coming together. And again, the address, 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We'll begin the New Year's Eve celebration here at 8 o'clock. So we will have a service, a church service with a message and some music, and also there'll be a food time after that service ends. And then close to midnight, maybe about a half an hour before, we'll all gather together again, and we'll pray and sing and count down the final moments of 2021. What an amazing year it's been for us, but we trust that the Lord has been with you in it all, as he's been with us here at the Grace Hour. And just thank you for your prayers and support for our radio ministry and the internet ministry that goes into all the corners of the world. We're very grateful for all that you do in all that you do in helping us in sharing the gospel and the finished work message of the grace of God. There's nothing like it. There is nothing like the grace of God. There's nothing like the finished work message of Jesus Christ. It keeps you sane and secure and ready for anything. So, with his second chapter of his message that he began yesterday, I'm going to turn this program over to Pastor Love. Here it is.
Thanks, Pastor Steve. And yes, we'll keep the promise, beginning what we started yesterday on the broadcast and finishing it up today from Romans, the 13th chapter. And again, this, I think, fits into our theme, which is that God wants us all to be quickened to life. And again, that word quickened means to be made alive. And of course, at the new birth, we were made alive, given a new nature, a new heart, a new way of thinking, a new way of living by the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, this maintenance of staying alert, staying awake, making sure that we don't fall into the spiritual slumber that has often characterized the church throughout its history. So it's so vital that we, again, consider these verses in Romans chapter 13, and I'll read them again just to refresh our minds and our hearts. Verse 11 begins by saying, "And knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep." And again, the reference there by the Apostle Paul is to make sure that we shake ourselves out of this spiritual slumber that we can so easily fall into if we are not guarding our hearts. And then he reminds us that now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So the four keys to resisting the seductive nature of the world that we live in, number one is to watch vigilantly, as we mentioned yesterday. And that, of course, includes the second coming of Christ, the imminent return of the Lord for his church, what we refer to as the rapture. And we do believe that the rapture is imminent, that Christ will return in the clouds for his church. Again, it's important to differentiate the second coming or the second advent of Christ when he actually touches down on the earth. That's when he returns for the second time. The rapture is not that, well, it's not the same. Sometimes when we hear people talk about the second coming, they kind of include the rapture together with the second advent of Christ. And again, we have to differentiate between those two. He will come for the church and take the church out before the time of Jacob's trouble, before the onset of the 70th week of Daniel, which is prophesied in the Old Testament. So clearly, there's a difference there. So what we're waiting for simply is the Lord from heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, and we are told to look for that blessed hope in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. So our eyes are on the skies, so to speak, simply waiting and looking for Jesus. So the incentive there of the Lord's return is, well, for you and I as believers in this present age, there's work to be done. Not work for salvation, but God's work. In other words, once saved, God has called you into his kingdom, into his body, and there is a purpose. And each one of us have been given gifts and talents and abilities by God to, again, function in a very peculiar way in a corporate mentality with the body of Christ, discovering what our role is and fitting into that role, whatever it may be. So again, there's work to be done, work that, again, we're privileged and honored to be a part of. And that's for everyone. You know, don't sell yourself short and think, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a missionary, I'm not a teacher, and think, I don't have anything to offer to the body. You have a portion to offer the body of Christ. Whoever you are, wherever you are, in your local assembly, in that particular geographical location where God has called you, and you're part of a local assembly, you have much to offer. So bring your gifts and your talents and abilities to the table and watch how God will use them in an astonishing way to glorify his name. And then we get to the third of these keys that we mentioned yesterday, and that's in verse 12. And I'll read it again. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let's cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. So the first part is put off the darkness. The verb here literally means deliberately, purposefully, significantly, and permanently put aside the things of darkness. Now, what kind of darkness is the Apostle Paul making reference to here? Well, it's the old residue, the old pre-Christian life. In other words, step out of the carnal man's hold over you. You know, it is possible that you are born again and any of us could be born again, and still we're controlled by the old sin nature, the carnal appetites of that old sin nature. God wants to deliver you from that. He wants to set you free. He doesn't want the carnal man's hold over you. In other words, we're not even interested in walking in his shadow. We don't speak those harsh words any longer in Ephesians 4:29, but we only minister with gracious words. No corrupt communication proceeding out of our mouths, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, so that it may minister grace to the hearers. We don't tell those lies that we used to tell in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. We don't pass judgment upon another brother in Romans chapter 14, verse 4. You see, while Christ may be accepted in a moment of time, sin remains our foe for a lifetime. Now, I know some of you may be surprised to hear that, but it is a reality. We have to guard our hearts perpetually in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, because so much of this world, which again is described in 1 John 2:15, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, so many of those things within those three specific categories try to find their way into our hearts. So it takes vigilance. It takes alertness. It takes staying awake spiritually, because sin is always waiting at the door. So we've got to be on our toes, spiritually speaking. Be on guard against the encroachment of the old ways. And we know what those old ways are. We remember what they were, and we stay clear of them. So this is what the Apostle Paul means when he says, put off that darkness and then put on the light. You see, it's so important for us to remember this principle. It's not enough that you and I as believers simply stop doing those things that we once did. That is not the equivalent of being a believer. A believer certainly does put off the darkness, but even more importantly than that, they put on the light. Or, if you will, they walk in the light. And the light, well, that's, of course, the Word of God, the presence of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Paul describes walking this way, living this way, he actually uses the word the armor of light. And that kind of reminds us that we're in the midst of spiritual warfare. And as soldiers of the cross, we are to stand on the wall, never sit on the fence. I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life as a young believer where I did just that. I sat on the fence. I thought I could maintain my place in the world and my place at the same time in the kingdom of God. It didn't work. I was miserable. I was half-hearted towards the things of God, and my other half, well, that was immersed in the things of the world. Just to share with you, a new Barna research group spoke about fence sitting as believers. And listen to what it says. It suggested that 3/4 of American Christians believe that God is all-powerful and the all-knowing creator of the universe who rules the world today. Now, so far, that's good. The problems come when the subject turns to Jesus, Satan, and the Holy Spirit. Only 39% believe that Jesus sinned. Imagine that. 39% believe that Jesus sinned during his time on the earth. Now, right there alone, you got a major problem. To even suggest that Christ sinned would be to deny the reality of our own salvation and redemption. For if he had sinned, then he himself would need redemption. He himself would need to be saved. But he never sinned. And this clearly is taught everywhere in the scriptures. So during this Barna research report, 39% of Christians, they believe that Jesus sinned during his time in the earth. 58% of Christians do not believe the Holy Spirit is a living being or a person. And strangely, nearly 60% don't believe that Satan is real, while 64% believe that demons can affect us. Apparently, demons are more believable to some people than the work of the living, indwelling Holy Spirit. Consider also, as this research reveals, that one out of every three Christians believes the Bible and the Quran teach the same truths. You almost have to conclude that most of those have read neither book. And you can begin to see why we speak of the need for believers to wake up. And again, some would suggest that the poll reveals to us that we're not sitting on the fence at this point. We're actually helping the enemy tear down the fence entirely. Barna concluded that American Christians tend to stretch the Bible to fit their everyday experiences. What we are called to do is to face our everyday experiences with the undiluted, uncompromised wisdom of the Word of God. We are soldiers. We are not defectors. Great thoughts. And the last of these four keys, well, the Bible says in verse 13 of the 13th chapter of Romans, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife or in envy. So we are to walk virtuously. That's right. Virtue is to be a part of our lives. We are not only to reject public sins of the night, of the darkness, but remember, so to speak, we wear the uniform. You're in God's army. Don't disgrace it. It's a terrible thing when someone who wears the uniform disgraces it. And God is warning us here, don't let that happen. Reject the public sins of the night and renounce the private sins, those things that we might do when no one is looking. Lewdness, lust, strife, envy. These are the things that we find in our hearts. They are not seen nor witnessed by others, but we know they can exist. And if we don't guard our hearts, and if we start to live this duality of life where we can present our public self and appear that all is well, and then have a private life that is deteriorating, and our soul is in disarray because it hasn't been guarded, and we have not heeded the warnings of the Scripture to stay alert, to stay awake, to be on guard. You know, Paul warns us here to be aware of sin in its daily and its nightly manifestations. That is, the assaults from the inside as well as the assaults from the outside. And then, of course, the last thing that he reminds us to do in verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not make a provision for your flesh. We are to wait victoriously. And Romans chapter 13, verse 14, there's two calls to action. The first one, putting on Christ. Ray Stedman suggests this approach, and it's very practical. Listen to what he says. He said, when I get up in the morning, I put on my clothes, intending them to be a part of me all day. To go where I go, to do what I do, they cover me, they make me presentable to others. That is the purpose of clothes. In the same way, the Apostle Paul is saying to you and I, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get up in the morning, make him part of your life that day, intend that he would go with you everywhere you go, and that he act through you in everything you do. Call upon his resources. Live your life in Christ. Doesn't that make sense? Practically speaking, just put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same way that you get up in the morning and you put on your clothes and you don't even think about it, you know it's what you need to do, you know it's what you ought to do. Well, the same way we wake up in the morning and put on our clothes, let's do the same thing with Christ. And then the second part of verse 14, make no provision for the flesh. It's hard to imagine that we could do such a thing, but yet we all realize we can do it and we have done it. And we're warned here not to do it. Again, it concerns avoiding any temptation to gratify the desires of the flesh. I read this great story about Harry Truman, our former president's biographer. His name was David McCullough. He recounts this wonderful example from Truman's life. The president was in the midst of talks with the USSR and Great Britain at the time, and the question at hand was what to do with post-war Germany. And there was a great deal of anxiety and stress, and after one really tough day, according to a Secret Service agent, Truman was ready to head back to his quarters. An Army public relations officer jauntily asked him for a ride. Truman, always the down-to-earth type, gave him a seat in the car. As a thank you gesture, the stranger offered to get Truman anything he wanted from the city's thriving black market. He suggested a few of the products he dealt in, such as cigarettes, watches, whiskey, and women, with a leering emphasis on that final one. The smile was gone from President Truman's face. He replied and said to him, "Listen, son, I married my sweetheart. She doesn't run around on me, and I don't run around on her. I want that understood. Don't ever mention that kind of stuff to me again." And when they arrived at the house assigned for the president's use at the conference, Truman left the car with no further word to the now humbled officer. That's how President Truman did not make a provision for his flesh. And neither should you and I. And why should we, when God has given us everything that pertains to godliness in this life? In other words, we have everything we need. We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We've got a seat together with Christ in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And again, when you consider the work of the cross and all that God has done for us, there's no need to take a back seat in life and to revert back to our old ways. Let's just keep putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and not make a provision for the flesh. The flesh has already had its way in our lives for many, many years in many cases. Let's give our hearts to Christ wholeheartedly. Let's ask him to quicken us each and every moment of every day. Let's ask him to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Give us the opportunities that are presented to us in this life and to maximize those opportunities by God's grace. Father, we thank you for these thoughts today and thank you for another opportunity to share them with our Grace Hour family and friends around the world. Bless the remainder of our program. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're listening to the Grace Hour, coming to you live from Baltimore at the campus of Greater Grace World Outreach, Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. The message you just heard, that was Pastor John Love, and completing his thoughts that he started yesterday from Romans chapter 13 about today, really putting off the things of the flesh and putting on Jesus Christ, the armor of light. Are you wearing the armor of light today? It'd be great if you were. Stick around. Listen, you could talk to us more about it, 1-800-338-7060 is a toll-free number in North America if you'd like to share your thoughts with our audience. 410-483-3700. That's a local number here in Baltimore and also a number that can be used for those of you outside of North America worldwide. You can dial the country code for the U.S. and 410-483-3700, and we'll put you right on the air. You can tell us what you're thinking about these things. Really, just a lot to talk about, a lot to think about, a lot to digest. The corporate mentality, I love that. Love that early phrase that Pastor Love made about having a corporate mentality and being members in particular of the body of Christ and exercising the equipping that God has given you, the equipment, the gifts, the talents, the iron that he puts in you. Iron sharpens iron. There's something in you that is really, right for who you are, and it's really ready to be used by God. I was reading that in Chronicles, how David made sure that the nails that would be used in the temple that Solomon built, he made sure they were manufactured out of the right kind of iron. They had to go together. Things had to go together. The gold, lots of it. Silver, lots of it. Precious stones. But all the lists of the things that David provided for that building project, including these nails made of iron. And so you've got something to be a part of. You've got something to contribute, as Pastor Love said, something to bring to the table in the body of Christ. So don't stay away. Let's draw near and be a part of the body of Christ. So Rachel saying, thank you so much for the precise teaching. Love it. So encouraging. And Chad is saying, the fence. You talked about living on the fence, and the fence can lead us to drift into the world's territory. Indecision is a choice, contrary to faith, and results in a fenced life on the bench, unaware that God has a great plan for you. Faith crosses boundaries and finds God's faithful walls beyond the world's fences. That's amazing. Mm. Great thoughts, Chad. We appreciate it. Well, Pastor Love, you want to say something to the radio audience before we say so long to WRBS listeners again?
Yeah, just to highlight that thought you just rehearsed about everyone having a portion, everyone having an ability and a gift. And that's exactly what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. He says, as every man has received the gift, every man, not some, but everyone, even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God's grace is seen to it that every one of us has a portion, a gift, an ability, a talent. And he goes on in verse 11 and says, if anybody speak, if God's called you to do some speaking, well, speak as of the oracles of God. If it's any man minister, well, do it according to the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever.
Amen. Well, radio audience, we have to say so long to you. Have a great afternoon. Those of you online, stay right where you are. Remember, again, church tonight at Greater Grace, 6025 Moravia Park Drive. 7 o'clock is the time. And New Year's Eve, 8 o'clock service. Don't watch the ball fall. Come and lift up your hands in the house of the Lord. That's what to do. 8 o'clock. Be with us Friday night, 7 o'clock tonight. Well, friends, online friends, online listeners, online, maybe you're not so friendly. That's okay. We're here. We love you. We have the Spirit of God in us. Pastor Love was talking about that, the Spirit. And, just like people, that's that shocking survey that you had there about... people in America and the way they think about who Jesus is, how he operated, and who the Holy Spirit is. You'd think that a lot of people would know that the Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead, right?
Yeah, you would think that. But what about that 39% that believe Jesus sinned during his time on the earth? I mean, talk about, a misunderstanding of one of the most fundamental principles of biblical truth. The sinlessness of Christ. I mean, if you cross that off and come to the conclusion that Jesus himself was a sinner, well, then you don't have anything. Come on. We're wasting our time and energy here on the Grace Hour today if Christ sinned, because we have no Savior. We have no Lamb of God who becomes a substitute for sinful people.
It's just amazing that you would think that. I mean, that is like trying to bring Jesus down to a level of just a good moral teacher, as opposed to the Son of God, the perfect Lamb of God. And I think that's if you read through the whole Bible, that Passover, the Passover typology that we see in it, that the Lamb had to be without spot or blemish in order to be offered, that Lamb that was slain, and then the blood put on the doorposts in the Exodus story. That's a real pointing to who Jesus is, and it's really made right at the beginning of the Gospel of John about the Passover lamb. So that's shocking. Let me take care of this. We want to pray for Victor and his family. Victor's son, got one of those positive tests that so many people are getting nowadays. And his family and Victor's works as a security guard and those kind of things. So he's in contact with a lot of people. So we just want him to be well. We want all of you to be well. So yes, if you're feeling poorly and you're sickly, yeah, we just hope that you can get tested and that you would, you know, this is something that we didn't think that we'd be still talking about this last Christmas, did we?
No.
We thought we were sort of coming out of it. But anyway, this is the nature of where we are right now in a society, and there's a lot of information out there. I would say that you pray and let God lead you and, you know, take care of yourself. So, Lord, we pray for Victor and his family. Pray that they would not fall any more ill than they already are. And, Lord, that they wouldn't be succumb to this, that they wouldn't be, this wouldn't take over their whole lives as it has done to a lot of people. And all those listening, we just pray for you wherever you are in the world as this pandemic continues to make itself felt and in different phases. So we're just believing God for, you know, to protect us. So, amen.
Amen. Amen. We also heard from our good friend Dominic DiPiazza.
Yeah.
He says, thanks for the message on sanctification. It's exactly what I shared with a dear brother a few hours ago. Praise God for the precision of his living word. Much love to you. And I was even thinking about this brother this morning, Pastor, and he has obviously gone through so much, lost his wife to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
She's gone home to be with the Lord. But, you know, they really battled and kept looking to Christ and trusting him. And he's just such a wonderful brother in the Lord, and appreciate his communication with us.
Yep. 1-800-338-7060 is a toll-free number that you could use. Take your phone out, dial us up. We'll put you on the air. You could share your thoughts with our audience here. Another number to use, 410-483-3700. Call us. Talk to us. There's a lot of people out there who really want to hear what you have to say. Grace has asked for prayer for a man named Nathaniel, lost his job, lost his car, and expecting his first child in 2 months. Well, that's a corner. We just believe God, yes. All those listening, please pray for Nathaniel. We lift him up right now. Ask God to touch him. Julie from London, to say Jesus sinned is ridiculous. God the Father would not give us his righteousness, and if he sinned, our faith in his promises would not apply anymore. Only the enemy would deceive and say these demonic words. That's a good thing, yeah. You said that survey showed that people actually had a more certain understanding of the reality of the devil than they did of Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, strangely enough, nearly 60% don't believe that Satan is real, while 64% believe that demons can affect us. I mean, that's incredible. Apparently, again, the demons are more believable to some people than the Holy Spirit and his ministry and his indwelling work in our lives. And then how about that part of the survey that talks about one in every three Christians believe the Bible and the Quran teach the same thing?
Wow. Well, that's, yeah.
Doesn't it beg the question, is anybody really reading the Bible?
I'm speechless.
I know.
I mean, the devil thing is not so confusing to me because the media does give the devil a great platform. I mean, we do know that, you know, the darkness is like a very, very strong element in a lot of entertainment. It's like, you know, just the commercials can be creepy. You know, one year there was like, I don't know what it was. I was working at another place and we had like this little thing that we were participating in about the Academy Awards, right? And, you know, I just, you know, you pick the winners and whoever, you fill out a sheet and whoever picked the most winners got the prize. And I won by one vote. I won by one score, one point. And the reason I won is that there was Anthony Hopkins played this serial killer in Silence of the Lambs. And I said, I voted him as the best actor. And they said, did you see that movie? I said, no, I can't stand those kinds of movies. I don't like creepy, intense, those kind of movies. But I said, I tell you one thing. When I saw him on the commercial, I said, he scared me. So I said, if he could do in a minute commercial over a whole hour and a half or 2 hour movie, I can imagine that he, you know, so that's, you know, you think about just those kinds of things that plug themselves in into the middle of a, you know, first down. And then we got this weird music comes in as we're turning around the TV and there's something really strange happening. People getting sucked into cornfields and all kinds of darkness. It's just like, you know, so it doesn't surprise me that people think that the devil is real, that evil is real. I think they felt evil.
Yeah.
But I mean, to not understand that there is a good God, and that's a discussion, you know, that's a discussion. Like, you know, see people say, if God were really good, this would not be here.
Exactly.
But, you know, we had this discussion in a Bible study last night in Dundalk that, you know, yes, it'd be awesome if God made everything right, but he did make right the thing that's most important to be made right. That's the way to him and the way for his mercy to flow to us, the forgiveness of God and the cross of Christ. That's why it's so important that Jesus did not sin.
Yeah. Amen. You know, it's strange that you mentioned that about, you know, Anthony Hopkins, because he's played, you know, God only knows how many roles throughout the course of his illustrious career, but he played the role of the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
And it was so good,
yes.
So biblical, so convincing.
Yeah.
That it made me wonder, couldn't those truths that he was speaking about as he played that role, you know, penetrate his heart and bring some conviction into his soul? I don't know, but I guess that's the life of an actor. You just, you get your script and you read it. But, I mean, he's so good at what he does, you almost wish that that talent could be used by God.
I don't know. We know that entertainment, God has allowed it. It has its purpose, and he uses it sometimes. I still remember, I think it was 1982, there was like, back in those days, they had like five movies up for the Academy Award. One was Henry Fonda and Jane Fonda in a movie called On Golden Pond. That was the sentimental favorite. There was another one called, I think, Reds, which was like a, you know, a segment of our population tends to glorify the socialist revolution in Russia, and that talked about a journalist who was a part of that, and I think that starred Warren Beatty. Everyone was talking about these two movies. It's going to be one or the other. No one was talking about the movie about the missionary, Eric Little, and Chariots of Fire. And the movie about the missionary won Best Picture.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
You know, when you think about it, it's like, you know, there it is, you know, it's like, okay, let's show it. The best picture really that anyone should see should be Chariots of Fire.
Amen to that. It was a great movie too.
Oh, that is just the way that they portrayed the two people in the center of that one, like you said, seeking success for success's sake, and the other glorifying God with his legs. And here's a little known fact you might keep in your, the first Chinese born, the first person ever born in China to win a gold medal is Eric Little. Mm. He was born in China to missionary parents died in China as a missionary, but he's the first Chinese born citizen to ever win an Olympic medal. He did that in that, and he didn't even run the race that he was so good at, because the trials were on a Sunday and he had a conviction about running. He ran the 400 meter, which is four times the 100 meters, which was his specialty. Amazing.
What a story.
Yeah.
You know, in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, Pastor Steve, in verse 13, we read Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And then in verse 14, he says, wherefore he saith, awakest thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Another admonishment in the scriptures to awaken out of our spiritual slumber, which again is so, it's so easy for that to happen. And Pastor Sturridge yesterday on the broadcast said, well, he was in Chile once visiting down there in the mission field. He actually slept through an earthquake. I think, you know, just that example can prove to all of us that no matter how well we think we may be doing, we still have to guard our hearts, because this spiritual slumber can creep in and the seductive nature of the world can find its way into our hearts. And I don't think that there's ever a time where we have to, you know, let down our guard. I don't think that we can risk doing that.
I would say you're right. Walk circumspectly, you know, carefully, step by step, line upon line, the narrow way. It's like this is, you know, not to be twisted out of the way, not to become diverted or perverted or crooked in any way. It's like walk the straight way. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads unto life. I think, you know, that proverb, it's twice. It's one of my, I've said it, I think, on this show couple of times, that my favorite proverb is that it's better to live on the corner of a rooftop than in a wide room with a brawling woman. It's like, that's a statement from, you know, from Solomon. He said it twice in chapter 21. He said it again in chapter 25, or it's repeated for someone, you know, word for word, same proverb. But I think that's right. When you're up, you know, when you're thinking about paying attention and watching your balance and staying on the edge, keeping your edge, maintaining your edge. It's like we know that, you know, we know that, like, that's, you know, like we've seen like teams that play very, very well and then they relax and then they don't maintain their edge and they can get, you know, upset by a team that seemingly on paper they should beat, but, you know, they just lose their edge. And in the world of professional athletics, to lose your edge means that you could lose the game very often, a game that you could be favored to win. But yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. Just you have to be thinking. Let's see here. Julie, I was in a Bible study where there were five people. Each person was asked to give their view on the Bible. And one lady said the Quran was as holy as the Bible. And I asked her who told her that. She said the vicar that led her church. A vicar is like, I guess, a chief, the lead pastor in a church, right? In an English church. So this is another thing that, like, people are saying that, you know, like, we are, yes, I guess you could call us, we are, we have an exclusive view of the Bible. We think it is the truth that transforms. We don't think of anything else as being truth.
And yeah, the Word of God is quick.
Yes.
And it contains the power to quicken our lives. Quick, powerful, sharper than any surgeon's scalpel. And it's able to, again, penetrate the hearts and minds of individuals. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's incredible. To think that this book, the Bible, can reach a part of us that no surgeon's scalpel could ever reach because of its truth. And again, getting back to Ephesians chapter 5, when he says, you mentioned it, walk accurately, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeem the time because these are evil days, without a doubt. And then in verse 17, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And I think that that is so crucial as believers, to know what the will of the Lord is for our lives and to find ourselves immersed in it. And now some would say, and that's precisely where I'm at. I need to know what the will of the Lord is. Well, I think that he will reveal it to you.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to keep it a mystery. I don't think he wants to hide it from us. But sometimes it does take a searching out by faith.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we'll all get the screen treatment that Peter got with his the screen being lowered down to show him. And even that was like a bunch of parables in there. It wasn't like God showed him the three faces of the men that he was supposed to go with. It was just God was teaching a deep principle that what I've made clean, don't call unclean. And but I think that's it starts with the Bible. I think you know the word. I think the I'm doing some research because I got to teach the Reformation beginning of the next semester, and I can remember that the Reformation was built on these what they call in the Latin solas, the Bible only, sola scriptura, the Bible only, sola gratia, which is only by grace, and sola fidelis, only by faith. But it was really the start, like what Martin Luther and Zwingli, Ulrich Zwingli, and John Calvin, and these other men that were turning us back. The real thing they did first was turn us back into the Scriptures. Mm. And how did they do that? The remarkable thing is that they started doing it by, and Pastor Schiavelli said it on Monday, he lived in a church orientation where they used another language in the services, Latin, you know. And this was what happened during the Reformation. The language of the people became the language of the Scriptures, and they could hear for the first time what things were really said there. And, oh, wow, you know, I mean, in some ways they were right. It's like once people knew what the Bible really said, they started to make assumptions about it, and people went a variety of different ways with their free volition. But, you know, but they knew what the Bible said, and that's what grace and faith were built upon. It wasn't just built upon a feeling or any kind of, you know, romanticism or any kind of philosophy, vain philosophy. It was built upon the Word of God. So start with the Word of God. Oh, it is the holiest piece of writing on the planet.
And it will not lead you astray. It will bring that definition into your life and that understanding of what the will of the Lord is. I remember, you know, I'm not even sure if my desire was to fully and completely understand what the will of God was for my life, but I did know this. I did believe that I needed to understand the Scriptures better. So that was the motivation to go to Bible college.
Yeah.
And then as I sat under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God on a very consistent basis, then the will of God was unfolded to me. I mean, that connection between the Word of God and understanding the will of God, you cannot separate the two.
No.
And I think if someone's seeking the will of God, but they're not consulting the Bible, they're not looking to the Word of God, I'm not sure where you would end up.
True.
I'm really not sure.
Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How shall I know unless they have a preacher? And how shall there be preachers unless they be sent? Those are three scriptures. We put them together. We understand that people need preachers. People need preachers who preach the Word of God. And if preachers preach the Word of God, then there will be a development of faith in people's hearts. And real faith, that's amazing, real faith. Tess is saying here, I'm grateful for God's healing grace and to be a coronavirus survivor after being really badly sick 2 weeks last November. I believe the Word because Jesus is the Word. The Lord promised, and I've been quickened according to Psalm 103. He healeth all diseases. Praise Him.
Amen.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's a great testimony. And Zolly? Someone on the line said, only the born again are the children of God. If others are not, then why does the Lord want us to turn them unto Him? Well, that's because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, in an unlimited atonement, which means Christ died for our sins, those that believe on Him, trust Him, and He died for the sins of the whole world.
Yes.
So their sins have been paid for as well. But the fact is they don't know it. And how will they know unless someone tells them? And how will someone tell them unless somebody goes and preaches? You've got to tell them the gospel. But I think in many cases, people's minds have been made up as to their understanding of what the gospel actually is.
Yes.
And many believe that the gospel is the art of living a good moral life.
Mm.
That's not the gospel.
No.
The gospel is Christ died for your sins and was raised again for your justification.
We serve from, what is it, the position of gratefulness, gratitude. We are, why do we live according to the scriptures? Well, yes, Jesus does say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's a little jolt to us. But he also says that if you are not born again, John 3:3, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So we are born again by grace through faith. It's a gift. It's not of ourselves. God gives us the Holy Spirit. God moves us. Jesus was lifted up to draw all men unto him. We were drawn by his sacrifice, and that's what changes us. It's not the reason that we live the way that we live is not because we're good at it. It's because we've committed ourselves to him, and the Holy Spirit puts in us even the very thought of doing something well. You know, we didn't even have, our thoughts were only evil continually, but God puts in us the thought to do well.
Amen.
Hey, friends, if you'd like to share a thought, you know, with your voice, 1-800-338-7060 is the way to do it. Also, 410-483-3700. We have about 6 or 7 minutes left in our program today, and then you'll have to wait till tomorrow. But we do have something to tell you about. Tomorrow is Thursday, so we'll have a message from Pastor Stevens, a little tight, bright message. It's a shorter message than usual, but this is called There's No Stress in Faith Rest. Yeah, Pastor talking about being a believer. Pastor Stevens, the founder of the Grace Hour, will be preaching our message tomorrow from his archive, his audio archive. So there's no stress in faith rest. I just like to say that. There's no stress
like
in
it.
Faith rest. It could be a chant, right? Oh, we don't want to talk about that. We're talking, Pastor Gary Grunwald in our lunch wrap today, our lunch devotional, was talking about chanting and someone who got confused by entering a church where there was a lot of chanting and no one really meant it. So we won't chant it, but we will maybe repeat it again and again.
That's amazing. Look at Julie. She says, please pray today. I went out, spoke to several people, and they accepted Christ as their Savior. Please pray that God would help them grow and become hungry for this truth, for his truth. Father, we do pray.
Yes.
Thank you for Julie's obedience to the Great Commission, and thank you for her love for lost souls. Continue to fill her heart with that love. And we pray for those that responded to the gospel that she shared with them. We pray that they would indeed sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their lives and begin to seek you and search for you with their whole heart. Just bless them, Father, with this new celebration, this new birth, this spiritual birthday that they have just begun. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, Castlewood has made a comment on YouTube. It said, people don't understand the gospel because it requires more thought than just do good, be good. We have to show them by Christ in us and teach them with love.
Amen.
That's a fair comment,
yeah.
I would say.
And he's right. He's right. It's crazy. You know, this misunderstanding or lack of understanding regarding the true nature of the gospel message. I mean, there's just so many people, sincere people, that just assume that Christianity, the equivalent of Christianity is God. God's involved in it, but he wants you to live a good life.
Mm.
And isn't that incredible, Pastor Steve, when the scriptures teach you cannot possibly live a good life unless you have a new nature. And without that new nature, you can't know God, and you cannot please God, and you can't enter into his kingdom.
And I think the thing is, if you read through the Gospels themselves, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to get some comments and some experiences and some stories and testimonies of things that happened to people who are not so good. you know, we're going to meet people like the woman who was taken in adultery, and Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Well, wait a minute. Did she make an offering? Did she make, she didn't even make a confession. She just sort of stood there waiting to be, to receive the stoning that, that they said that, that she deserved. And according to the ordinances, yes, she was supposed to be stoned. But, you know, he just said, you know, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. So the freedom from condemnation precedes the going and the sinning no more.
That's right.
And then and then maybe the person who got in at the last possible moment, the thief on the cross, you know, the idea of be good, do good, you know, he completely blows that thing up, doesn't he?
So much for that philosophy.
Yeah, really. All he said was, remember me, Lord. Okay, today you'll be with me in paradise. But, you know, no giving of tithes, no, you know, wait a minute, isn't there, you know, it's just, you know, there's, you know, God is a forgiving, he's forgiving. His mercy flows.
Yeah, it begs the question that was asked of Jesus, you know, what do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do that I might work the works of God? That's even more precise. And the answer, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent.
Yeah, David writes here, he said, I brought up the principle of faith rest in a Bible study once and got a bunch of blank stares. We do a word of the day, he said, in this Bible study, and that was mine. It's as if greater grace, an exclusive word. Well, you know, I mean, it's not. We know Spurgeon talked about it. We also know that that is, what is it, Hudson Taylor's spiritual secret was resting in the finished work of Christ. Yeah, it's sad that that kind of concept is pushed into the background. Hey, Pastor Love, it's been another great day. We've been on the air a lot this week.
I know. Me and you. It's been fun, though.
Yeah, it's been fun. Hey, friends, again, a reminder, tomorrow, Thursday, Pastor Stevens, we have something from his audio archive. There's No Stress and Faith Rest. That's 1 o'clock tomorrow. Tonight at 7 o'clock at Greater Grace Church, 6025 Moravia Park Drive in Baltimore. You can come and be a part of a church service beginning at 7 o'clock tonight. Come on out. You're welcome. And then again, Friday evening, New Year's Eve, we're going to welcome in 2022 with a time in the Bible, a time of singing and worship and prayer, and we also have some food. That'll be a part of it. There'll be a feast here also. So that begins at 8 o'clock. Same address, 6025 Moravia Park Drive. Pastor Love, thank you for being with me. Cody, thank you for manning the board. I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis. So long.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.